Hare Krishna. Yasoda ordered some maidservants, O Karangavati and Lavangavati, fetch some smooth, soft rope made of jute. The attempt of Rajeshwari Yasoda to bind Krishna, the ever-well wisher of the whole creation, immersed her in an ocean of joy. Soon, many opulently dressed elderly gopis, the embodiment of limitless mother affection, came there, along with several curious boys with clean, beautiful, curly hair. Mother Yasoda tied many ropes together, but they always measured 2 inches too short. Surprisingly, no matter how many ropes she collected, they remained 2 inches too short. She said, "Alas, this small distance seems to have become as vast as Brahma's universe. The Supreme Lord enacts this pastime by his personal energies to display his unlimited power." Observing this wonderful incident, the elderly gopis tried to relieve Yasoda's anxiety by saying, "Oh, Yasoda, you are the most blessed one in creation. A minute ago, you tied a small golden bell around Krishna's thin waist, but now you cannot bind him with all the ropes in your house. Despite the number of ropes you tied together, oh Yasoda, they always end up 2 inches too short. There is some strange cause behind this phenomena, so you better stop trying to bind your son." In great astonishment, Yasoda addressed the gopis. "O Vraja gopis, I have no more ropes, so please bring all the ropes stored in your houses." It was not out of fear that the gopis gave all their ropes to Yasoda, but they did so in order to see Krishna's transcendental character and relish his blissful pastimes. Feigning anger, Yasoda took all the additional ropes and tried again to bind her naughty son. While enjoying this scene, the doe-eyed housewives of Vrindavan laughed quietly while secretly tasting a special joy in their hearts. All the blissful moods of spiritual love harmonized in Krishna's childhood pastimes. Though Krishna's hands were very delicate, his eyes soon pained from continually rubbing the tears falling from them. In a choked-up voice, he spoke some richly sweet words that captivated the minds of all. Finally, Krishna cried in a gentle, honey-sweet voice. Empathizing with Krishna, close friends like Subal also wept along with their bosom friend. Yasoda's heart palpitated with her heavy breathing. Her hair loosened and the flowers fell to the ground. Perspiring, tired, overwhelmed, and her labors frustrated, Yasoda sat down to rest and to figure out how to tie up Krishna, her son. A short time later, she tried again to bind her matchless son. The elderly gopis, having lost all desire to return to their homes, stood motionless while staring at Krishna. Their eyes were unblinking. Now all the ropes in Vrindavan joined in a fruitless attempt to bind the master of the universe. It is impossible to tie up bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness. So how can anyone tie up Krishna, who is made of nothing but bliss, wisdom, power, and consciousness? How could Yasoda bind one who has no inside or outside? How could she bind someone who is limitless, who has no beginning, who has no end, who has infinite power, who is the totality of everything, who is completely full and beyond any contamination, and who is within and outside of everything? Viewing the situation, the all-powerful Supreme Lord decided to bestow his mercy upon his mother, Yasoda. Even though Mother Yasoda eagerly desired to tie up Krishna. She met no success despite her total exhaustion. The endeavor of a devotee to bind the Lord can only be successful with the Lord's sanction. All of Yashoda's work now bore fruit because Krishna, out of compassion for her, suddenly allowed himself to be bound. Extending his mercy, he saved his beloved mother from further anger and frustration. Yashoda asked the assembled cowherd boys to watch Krishna. "You please watch over Krishna to prevent him from untying himself and running away." Then Yashoda and the elderly gopis entered their private chambers. The moment Yashoda left, Krishna stopped crying, and his face assumed the peaceful and effulgent glow like the luminous moonshine. Krishna thought how to use his present bondage to fulfill a prophecy that Narada Muni had made. Previously, Narada had cursed two intoxicated and indecent demigods named Nalakuvera and Manigriva to become trees, deciding to bestow his mercy upon them. Krishna dragged the grinding mortar tied to his belly along the ground towards those two trees. Krishna's playmates cheerfully followed him. From a distance, saw the two trees connected at the root. Similarly, a student will understand that Prakriti and Purusha originate from one source. As Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda are separate paths, the two trees had different trunks. The Sama and Yajur Vedas have various divisions, and similarly the two trees had many branches. As a great king has the quality of valor and achievement, as a mountain range possesses steadiness, and as a cluster of clouds is laden with showers, similarly these two trees displayed an abundance of material opulence. The demigods who were embodied in the two trees had become purified by suffering many years in that way. Just as clouds abound in the rainy season and as water becomes clear and pure in the autumn. As the universe is vast and broad, these trees stood stout and strong. Known as a pair of Arjun trees, they reminded everyone of the great heroes Arjun and Kartavirya. Like Nakul and Sahadev, these two trees were also twins. And seeing Krishna moving towards these huge trees, his friend said, "Perhaps Krishna cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine, so he is seeking shelter under those shady trees." While his friend spoke thus, Krishna pulled the mortar over and it got stuck between the two trees. He who annihilates all pretenders appeared splendid with his curly hair hanging loosely over his shoulders. Though Krishna's body is pure and spotless, his character is colored with wonderful varieties of rasa. With a slight jerk of the mortar, Krishna easily uprooted those huge trees in a moment. A loud cracking sound filled the air when the trees split open. As a person pokes a hole in a clay pot, that unique vibration, which conquered all other sounds, raced through the sky to puncture a hole in the coverings of the universe. The sound exactly resembled the terrible noise produced by the fierce thunderbolts crashing at the time of devastation. Krishna, however, remained calm and joyful amidst the tremendous tumult. Krishna is eternally free, but he appeared to be bound to a grinding mortar. His character is eternally pure, but it was stained by his pastime of stealing. Although he can liberate anyone trapped in material existence, he was bound by the loving affection of his mother. Hare Krishna.